So let's go to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. I know this was a verse that I shared last week, but I felt not to veer away from this verse, and so this is going to be our first verse. It says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." You may be seated. So this is what's it known as? Anybody just shout it out. The Great Commission. Amen. The Great Commission. This is an instruction by Jesus himself. Instructions for every believer to go, to disciple, to teach. And I like the last part because I'm just kind of put it in my own words of what Jesus is saying. Don't worry. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That's an encouraging thing to know that Jesus is saying this, and he's telling you to go, to disciple, to teach. But don't worry. Don't get scared. Don't start biting your nails. Don't worry. I'm with you always, even to the end. And then he says, amen. So be it. I like that. And so let's go to slide one, please. And I saw these quotes, and this is from Charles Swindoll. Says, "Whatever we do, we must not treat the Great Commission as if it's the great suggestion." How many of you have heard that phrase? Now, I found out by searching, Great Commission / Great Suggestion, I found out that somebody else had said that, and this was probably, I don't know, several hundred years maybe, before Charles Swindoll said this. Go to the next one. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China. "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a commandment to be obeyed." It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's instruction that Jesus gave to you and to me. And this is also a prayer or a verse that we pray, but I pray this quite a lot. And it's found in Ephesians 4:3. "Lord, bring hidden treasures together to be in unity." That whatever we do it in unity. We do it together. We do it as brothers and sisters in Christ. We do it together. It says, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That word endeavor means, in Webster's dictionary, to attempt something, such as the fulfillment of an obligation by exertion of effort. To attempt something in order to fulfill it, to fulfill an obligation by exertion of effort, to strive, to achieve, to reach. Now, Ezra's not in here. I think he's in the nursery. But towards the end of November, I was watching a video. And so Ezra and I took this challenge that we would do 3,000 push-ups in a month. That's 100 push-ups every day for 30 days. And there were a day that I've kind of forgot. We had to double up the next day. And he forgot, and I told him he had to double up. So we were just kind of keeping each other accountable. And over the holidays, we kind of just said, "Yeah, we're not going to do anything." And so we started the first of the year. And so I'm reminding him, "Hey, did you do, man, come on, let's go. Come on, you got to double up." And so I say that because we wanted to strive. We wanted to achieve something. We wanted to reach a goal. It was mentioned this morning about resolutions, and resolutions, I kind of don't like to use resolutions. I don't have any resolutions. I have goals and requests that I bring to the Father that with his help I'll reach it. But I gotta have some kind of a strive. I gotta have some kind of a wanting to achieve and to reach that if it's gonna happen. Because with God, all things are possible, right? All things are possible to those who believe. And if you believe that God is with you and that God can help, you'll achieve that. You'll reach that, whatever it might be. Some things, God might be like, "Hey, you know what? You need to pray that a little bit more through because that ain't happening." The Lord might tell you that's just not going to happen. You might want to think of something else. Not the fact that he's shooting you down, but I think that, if you're going to strive to go ahead and, find a bunch of pennies so that you can find a Rolls Royce, he might say, Ford Escort might be a little bit more of what I'm seeing you having, but not a Rolls Royce. So, but to endeavor, to strive, to achieve, and this is one of my prayers, is that the Church of Hidden Treasures, that we will strive to read, that we will strive to what God wants us to strive. We will achieve to what God wants us to achieve, and we'll reach to what or who God wants us to reach. So I'm saying this, Hidden Treasures, we need your help. I need your help because I can't, Shannon and I, we can't do it alone. We can't do this alone. The very few of you, we can't just do, you know, we can't do, we need the whole church. Because it says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And if we're all brothers and sisters in Christ and God has called us to be a part of Hidden Treasures, then you know what, Hidden Treasures? Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that with all humility, we will go where God wants us to go. We will disciple those that God wants us to disciple. We will teach those that God wants us to teach. But we have to keep this in mind, in humility, because in humility, man, that's where it's at. That we all are supposed to instruct others and all one another, even as we ourselves are applying to what we're instructing. You see, in unity, we are to lead by God's Spirit to be His body, His church, His people. The Holy Spirit will lead those that are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, submitted to the Holy Spirit in unity. Why? Because the Holy Spirit only has one agenda, to do what the Father instructs the Holy Spirit to do and to say and to reveal. And we need to line up with that in unity. So when I say that God has given us these instructions, the Great Commission, to go where? Go forward with God. Go forward for God. Be productive for God. Now, some of you are like, oh, I got that. I got a long list of things. No, no. That long list of honeydews or that long list, that's probably for production for you. But what is God saying? That's just kind of a scary thing for some of us who like to, control things, control freaks. We have a plan. We have a list of things to do. Take that before God with a red pen and say, God, what's more important here? And if you are listening and true, God will be able to say, all right, number four, scratch that out, because that's, matter of fact, number four, put that as 24, because that's not that high on my list. See, because God's ways are much higher than ours, right? And a lot of times we need to, go to God with our plan and our schedule. So when we are to go, we're to go forward to be productive for God, not for ourselves, to accomplish for God. You know, there are times that I remember when I get in my truck, I remember my father-in-law always had these sticky notes or this long piece of paper on his rearview mirror, and it was his to-do list. Now, I have yet to follow that example and always have sticky notes in my car, but I do have it on my phone, and I do put it on my desk. Shannon thinks my desk is messy, but I tell her that they say that geniuses are always messy. So, but I have sticky notes on my desk, and sometimes they're just sticky notes that some good stuff that I heard in a sermon, and I just don't want to throw them away, and I can't remember them or memorize them, so I just leave them on a sticky note. So then every once in a while I'll pass it and I'll read those notes, or I'll read, you know, whatever's on there, and I'm reminded. But God wants us to go and be productive for Him, to go and accomplish what God has for us. The next thing is to disciple. Make followers to be leaders. Think about that when you think of disciple. Make followers of Jesus leaders. Make followers to be leaders, to be examples to teach, but also to learn. See, it's not the person who's discipling is the one that's always doing the teaching, because the one that's discipling needs to be humble enough that they can learn. I mentioned that last week. That every person who is to go and disciple becomes a mirror. It's not just whatever I say, it's what I'm doing. You become a mirror of Jesus, that what you're saying is what Jesus said, but it's also what Jesus did. And that's what you're mirroring. So as we go to disciple, as we go and then we go to disciple, we become a mirror of Jesus. So we are reflecting Jesus. And then lastly, to teach. Well, if you're going to teach, you better have scripture. You better have scripture and not just a long list of phrases or one-liners. If you ever heard a couple of preachers, you know, I try not to do this, so I hope you guys don't have a list of things that I normally say. But preachers that they always just say the same thing, or, you know, of course, I like when Brother Mike, it's not really spiritual, but he's just excited. So he goes, whoo! You know, I like when he does that, but there are certain preachers that they just say something and it just becomes something that's just a filler is what they call it. And I don't want to, you know, preach a sermon where I just have a bunch of fillers. I need scripture. I need what God says, because God's going to prick your heart by the Holy Spirit revealing what God is trying to get to you, get through to you, for you to understand. And it's not my words. And Shannon even covered this on Wednesday. It's our prayer that we don't come and, you know, with such great statements, and just they flow out of us so perfectly, but it's not the word. It's just what Rick and Shannon, you know, kind of found on a bumper sticker. That's not the whole God's law, as it says in Psalm. I should have wrote it down. But God's law is perfect, converting the soul. I think it's Psalm 8 and 8:18 maybe. I'm not sure, but anyway, say again. 19:7. Thank you. God's law is perfect, converting the soul. And so when we teach scripture. And then the fact that we're instructed to teach, that also means expound clearly. This is what Aquila and Priscilla did to Apollos. They expounded the scriptures more clearly. They laid it out to him. They helped him to understand. Was he dumb? I don't know. But somehow he needed some explaining, some expounding of the scriptures. And this is what Aquila and Priscilla did to Apollos. And so when we teach, we also need to demonstrate sound doctrine. We get sound doctrine from scriptures. And we don't just teach sound doctrine, we also have to demonstrate. So it's not just out of words, but it's also out of our lifestyle. And then lastly, by applying what you instruct. And so we're going to look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I mentioned this last week about how Paul and Timothy and their relationship. Paul calls Timothy the son, his son in the faith. There was a relationship there. And if we're going to do the Great Commission, where we're supposed to go, we're supposed to disciple, we're supposed to teach, we have to create or fashion a relationship with someone. It's hard for you to go and be someone and disciple someone who you don't even have a relationship with. You don't even know the names of their kids. And yet you're trying to disciple them and get close to them or teach them. There are these to, you need to form a relationship with them. One of trust. One that they know that if it's 2 a.m. and there's a dilemma, they can call you or, you know, they're really fast with their thumbs, text you right away to pray for whatever situation. And that you would be one of those people that they can count on. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and are all and all who are in authority. That we, Paul doesn't have a frog in his pocket. He's talking about him and Timothy. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, Paul is not with Timothy. That's why he's writing him a letter and telling him what to do, giving him instructions. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Was he saying this to be boastful? No, because if you read the rest of 1 Timothy, you'll know that Paul was not being boastful in who he is, but rather boastful in the fact that he is a servant of Christ. And he says, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. In faith and truth, not just words, but in my actions and how I live. So instructions like these to go, to disciple, to teach, they're given to every believer. And just as you and I, as we follow them ourselves, we ought to go, we ought to disciple, we ought to teach them. And so all scripture profits us in our living, not just in our teaching. Our leading or efforts to disciple others is also seen not just in their hearing. This is why we believe strongly about attending church, about attending Bible study, about attending prayer services. Is why? It's because that you formulate some lifestyle that is worth following or being listened to. This is one of the reasons why Jesus punked out or called out the religious people in front of a group of people. Not the fact that Jesus was just wanting to have a crowd to laugh at him because it was, you know, it was the comedy club there on the mountainside and Jesus was, you know, the MC of the day. No, but he was trying to point out what the religious people were doing. You see, it's better to teach what you are learning yourself and what you are presently applying, because there's something worth listening to, because you're not just speaking it, but you're living it. You're applying it. And it's a part of your lifestyle. Better to teach the truth that you hold yourself up to and you follow, because you're looking to the same standard, Jesus. I'm not sure if you're ever lost, but if you're ever lost, don't ever ask somebody who's lost how to get to where you need to go, because they're lost themselves. So, you know what? Pull over, go into the gas station, ask, hey, how do you get to so-and-so? Find out how to get there. So the downfall of these religious people, Jesus kind of punked them out in Matthew 23 verses 1 through 6. Let's go there real quick. And again, Jesus was not trying to be funny. Jesus was not trying to, poke at the religious people to make them feel bad, but to present something of what they were doing, to get through to them of how they were living. So it says in verse 1, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do." Oh, what? Yeah, because what they're saying is true. What they're saying is some things that you need to do. It's found in the law. You got to do. But this was the downfall. "But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries." That was that box that they would put scriptures in, and they would put, I was trying to find one that was like oversized, and kind of making a fun or a joke about this, that they were so religious that they had this huge box to say, "Hey, look at me. I got God's word on my forehead. Hey, look at me. I'm holier than you." But this is what they were doing, that they were wearing these phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garments so that their robes were bigger. And then as the wind blew, maybe they flowed a whole lot better. But that they, verse 6, "they love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues." They were prideful. They were telling what people to do, but they themselves weren't doing it. Now, I know that I'm not perfect. So what I'm speaking here is something that I'm purposely trying to achieve, trying to do myself. But it's to be a totally different thing if I'm here speaking the word to you, telling you truth, but yet I do not plan to do any of it. And my life displays that. And this is what the religious people, go to slide 3. The disguise of hypocrisy. Jesus warns the gathered crowd to follow the words of the religious leaders, but do not follow their actions. They were hypocritical, legalists, prideful, arrogant, judgmental, greedy, biased, and oppressive. I'm just going to take a few moments here. I want you guys to read those words and just ask the Holy Spirit, at what time am I hypocritical? When was the last that I was a legalist? When was the last that I was prideful? I didn't want to hear what people had to say to me. When was the last time that I was arrogant? I don't need to hear from that person. I don't need correction. I'm doing okay the way I am. Judgmental, greedy, biased, and oppressive. See, these are obstacles that come before us, and we can see, I mean, we can actually fall into that if we're not careful. To be a legalist, to be judgmental, to be greedy. So I'm not trying to point out that there are religious people in here, but what I am trying to say is that we can duplicate what these religious people were doing if we're not looking to God's word and applying it. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, Lord Jesus, forgive me, help me, teach me. So when we are instructed to go to disciple and to teach, we have to be willing that if the Holy Spirit brings one of those words or two of those words at the forefront of your mind right now, that you begin to pray and repent and say, God, help me. I do not want to be prideful. God, I do not want to be greedy. I want to be willing to give the shirt off my back to someone who is in need of the shirt that I have on now. So go to the next slide. So it wasn't that Jesus was trying to make a show of them, but Jesus was pointing out to the people that were around, don't please other people, please God. Don't achieve a life of stuff for others or yourself, but for God. So when we go for God. When we disciple to have followers follow us as we follow God. When we teach others about God as we ourselves are learning about God and how to live for God. Because we can easily become religious when we instruct others to apply God's instructions, but we choose not to do it ourselves. Again, staying in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, this is kind of lengthy, verses 6 through 16. It says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith, instruct in what? In sound doctrine, in the good news of Jesus Christ. So nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Listen, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. I know, you know, the push-ups that we were doing, that's not going to get me closer to God or closer to heaven. But it was just something that we had achieved that we decided that we were going to achieve, and we're going to continue to do that. But the most important thing is what we're doing this week, is that we are actually putting our bodies under subjection, and we're doing a spiritual exercise that will profit supernatural results. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Now notice he says we. He's putting himself in this. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Now, I thought I was just going to stop there, but I felt like the Lord said, continue. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Every single one of you has a gift that God has placed within you, a talent, the ability, a ministry of reconciliation for every believers. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these. Think about them constantly. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident. Again, that your progress may be evident, that your progress, I'm pursuing, I'm achieving something, I'm going to accomplish that what God has for me, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Pay attention. Be watchful. Continue in them. Continue in what? In the doctrine. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So instruct others to follow who you follow. Teach what you are being taught to do yourself. And I went to Webster's Dictionary again, and I typed in the word commission because it's the Great Commission that we're talking about. And discipleship is what we have been commissioned to do, because it says go, and then it says disciple, and it says teach. So we've been commissioned to disciple. So there's no way to get around it. There's no way to dodge it. Okay, you can't dodge that. It's an instruction that Jesus has given to all of us. So the word commission is defined, and I thought I'd go ahead and read all the definitions. It says, a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. A certificate conferring military rank and authority. I kind of understand that, you know. They were commissioned officers and non-commissioned officers, NCOs. The commissioned officers, they were paid more and they had more authority. Next one. An authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner. I like this. An authorization. Jesus, again, says, don't worry. You ain't got to be scared. I'm with you always, even to the end of age. An authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. A formal request to produce something, especially an artistic work, in exchange for payment. Authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another. A task or matter entrusted to one as an agent for another. We're agents of God. A group of persons directed to perform some duty. A government agency having administrative, legislative, or judicial powers. A city council having legislative and executive functions. An act of committing something that has been commissioned to do. An act of entrusting or giving authority. Do you remember who it was that was commissioned us to go and disciple and teach? It was Jesus. Now, this is what verse 18 says before verse 19. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. Everybody say all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he begins to commission you and I. He begins to instruct you and I of what we are to do. So we can't dodge it. We can't come up with an excuse that I just can't do it. Jesus says, I have all authority. I have all authority. It has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he instructs us to go. I pray that as we follow his plan, and that becomes our purpose, which is our theme for the year, and that we will go where God sends us to go, to be productive for him, not ourselves, that we will disciple. Listen, I don't know how many of you are actually thinking, well, that's going to be hard to find a Timothy. It can start over a cup of coffee for someone that you care about. Or maybe someone that God has placed on your heart. You're probably fighting, Lord, I don't really care about. But he keeps finding time to put that person in your mind. You begin to pray and you begin to create a relationship with that person. But none of us can say, I don't have anybody. No one comes to my mind. Just keep this in mind. Jesus went to the 12 disciples. None of the disciples went to Jesus and said, hey, you look like a teacher. Can you teach me a thing or two? Jesus went to them. And he's our perfect example. So it's going to take us going to people and saying, hey, you want to get a cup of coffee sometime? And let's just, you know, like what Pastor's doing. He's talking about talking about the Bible, what we read. And, hey, my treat. I'll take you out for some coffee. Coffee's not expensive. And it's an investment that will impact eternity, because you'll begin to start something with someone and that it will create a lasting relationship, because, of course, you're brothers and sisters in Christ anyway. So that's already lasting as it is. So let's just close in prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for today. I thank you, Lord, for your instructions. The fact that we are all commissioned to go. We're all commissioned, instructed to disciple. We're all commissioned, instructed to teach. And I'm just excited, Lord, of, like I said earlier, the groups, the many groups and the many people that are going to form some strong relationships and prayer groups and Bible study groups and times of studying the Bible together. And I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you're going to be involved in that as your people are humble before you, as your people are unified together, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. And Lord, so I'm just thankful for that. I ask you, Father, that we would respond. I pray for every person in this room, young and old, that we will say, God, I need your help. If you're sending me, I need your help. God, if you're commissioning me, God, I need your direction. I need you to show me how to do it, because I don't really know how, but I'll just ask the first person that comes to my mind if they want to have some coffee, and God, you'll take over. And as long as we discuss about you and what you're doing in my life and what you're doing in their life, I thank you, Father, that you will be glorified in all that we come together to do in unity for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.